This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Greetings, I am Barry. If you're searching for answers, spiritual help, clairvoyant readings, healings, crystals, books, incense or jewellery, you need to go to Infinity, Hamilton Spiritual Centre, 481 Anglesey Street, Hamilton, or you can phone 07 838 1838. Your link between this life and the next. Become the change the world needs today.
The Voice Within, your connection between this world and the next. Brought to you by Infinity Spiritual Centre, 550 Anglesey Street, Hamilton.
Greetings, I'm Barry. Well, this is a bit chilly, having just spent 6 weeks in England at 26 to 35 degrees. We're back home to minus four. Did you know about the eclipse last night? And did you see it? As Pam Gregory is going to tell us all about it.
Hi everyone, I'm here today to talk about the first half of August and the total solar eclipse that we have coming up on the 12th. Now, a lot to say about this month, because it is eclipse month, as you may know, and we have had some very big astrology in July that everybody has been talking about. Remember, that is just the ignition of another level of gestation for a higher level of consciousness. It's not a done deal in July and that's the end of it. It is just the very beginning, as David Clements talked about so eloquently in our recent conversational, just another level of upshift, another gestation, powerful gestation, evolutionary period for this higher level of consciousness that we are, we're birthing, we're going through at the moment in a series of steps. So very powerful. Now, I'm filming this on the 27th of July. From about the 28th, we are then in the energy of what's known as Lion's Gate. And many people talk about Lion's Gate on social media. It's exact on August the 8th. Kelly Kolodny, who I'm going to be speaking to this week, is doing a very big event on that, a three-day live event, I believe. For Lion's Gate, and the importance of Lion's Gate really came from ancient Egypt, and because at this time it coincided with the heliacal rising of Sirius, which is our spiritual star, which my good friend Heather Ensworth has talked about a great deal and written about a great deal. And Sirius is really our spiritual star, our spiritual sun, our binary star. And that heliacal rising usually coincided with the rising of the Nile, which flooded the Nile Valley, and that brought fertility, prosperity, food growing to the area. So this was always seen as extremely positive, a new beginning, and the beginning of a new year, if you like, in ancient Egypt. So Sirius has continued like a lighthouse for us, and the white lions in Timbavati in South Africa are said to carry that frequency. They're very associated with Sirius. They carry that very high frequency energy for the evolution of humanity. And that's what Kelly is really focusing on in this big event. But it happens every year at August the 8th. But it seems to be getting stronger every year. Even going to be stronger next year because it's so close to the longest total solar eclipse we have this century, but more of that another day. So already as of the 26th of July, the true node moved into Aquarius and the south node moved into Leo. That's a nodal axis shift. And that will continue in those signs until March of 2028. So it's an 18.6 year cycle. So it hasn't been there since 2009. I think it was December 2007 to August 2009, if my memory serves me. So if you go back to that period in time, if you can remember, the North Node was then in Aquarius and the South Node in Leo. And they will be operational coming up now in the same opposing pair of houses, as happened for you then. But if you have your sun, your moon, or your ascendant in particular, sun, moon, ascendant, in either Leo or Aquarius, you are going to be going through some particularly big personal shifts over the next 18, 19 months, I would say. I mean, we're all going to be going through huge shifts because there's so much change coming up. But particularly if you have sun, moon, or ascendant in Leo or Aquarius, you're going to be feeling this very personally. Also, I'd say your own nodal axis as well. If you have your nodal axis, whichever way it is, whether it's North Node in Aquarius or North Node in Leo, you're going to be going through a very important nodal shift as well. And another aspect of this, which I don't think I emphasized enough in that nodal axis video, is this can really burst the bubble of any... I did talk about grandiosity and narcissism in leadership, but even at the personal level, this can burst the bubble of self-aggrandizement, ego inflation, that kind of thing. Now, whether that's going to catch you out or catch someone in your personal circle out that, you're finding that within your friendship group, there's somebody who's a bit overblown, and this is a bursting the bubble kind of nodal shift. Because with the South Node in Leo, the South Node is essentially what we're moving away from the shadow side of that. So if somebody's put themselves on a big stage, if you like, or is loving some kind of celebrity status, the bubble is likely to be burst if it is not in integrity and authenticity. Because a big, big theme of this nodal shift, North Node in Aquarius, is shifting to truth and authenticity and integrity in a bigger way. You know, living your truth, no false facade, no false persona. All of those are going to come off, which is why I think that leaders, celebrities, you know, lots of people in the public eye may be caught by this. And actually, quite soon, we're going to be reading each other's energy anyway. So we're going to be very easily able to see this in each other. Something will feel off. It's not ringing true. Another theme for this nodal axis shift is that it will really emphasize things like humanitarianism, egalitarianism, civil rights, human rights, in perhaps a bigger way than we have known in quite a long time. Because part of the astrology, as you will know, because I've talked about it in many videos, is the seed point for the Uranus-Pluto trine that we have now. And the Uranus-Pluto trine was exact at 4 degrees of their signs in July. It will repeat at the exact degree 5 times until early 2028. But the seed point for that was 1965, 1966. And the 60s, even if you didn't live through it, you will know that was a huge time of revolution, of protests around civil rights, human rights, gay rights, women's rights, right, black power, you know, right across the board. It was a greater demand for equality in society. Everybody's rights being respected. And now, not only with Pluto in Aquarius, trine to Uranus, the blossoming of that seed point, but also the fact the nodal axis is, the North Node is in Aquarius, will emphasize those themes as well. So I can see a lot of social unrest coming up at this time through these next few months. So we're going to be calling out false power, false facades, elitism, aggrandizement, narcissism. And we will be demanding a new form of leadership that is much more heart-centered, much more truly concerned for the people, service to others, wants to do what's right for the good of the people, not just service to self, the good of self. And so this is also the beginning of a birth of a new socio-economic and political structure. Now, it's going to take time. It's just the very, very beginning. But part of that unique configuration we had in July is the very beginning of the birth of a new society, a new economy, a new form of leadership for sure, a new political structure that is much more horizontal, less vertical. So, you know, it's not going to happen in a day, a week, a month, or even a year, but it's the very beginning of it, because the seed points are here for that, in this shift of the power to the people. So recognize these are big long-term themes. They're not flash in the pan all over in July. Now we're into eclipse month and it's something else. These are just ignition points that are very exciting and I think incredibly positive. Not to say this will be perfectly smooth and comfortable all the way through. I think in the later months of this year, we're going to see a real accelerated collapse in many of the long-term structures we've known in our lives, be they political, financial, could be medical, educational. I think we're going to see an accelerated collapse. And that could be quite disruptive and disorienting and uncomfortable. Yes, absolutely. I don't think, you know, we can make an omelette without breaking eggs. I think we will certainly see that. But be prepared for that psychologically and just know that our task is just to hold the light. Hold that note as an opera singer does. Hold the vision of a more loving world where we can see joy, love, compassion, gratitude. Just hold that frequency. Because that's the frequency around which reality congeals, if you like, or collapses into matter. But it begins with our consciousness. It begins with our frequency. So all of this whole longer period we're going through is about the evolution of consciousness. And, you know, when people say, well, you know, show me, where is New Earth? Well, it's actually much more of an inner process, because it's actually a shift from an external focus to an inner focus. So it's just dropping into bliss, finding peace, finding love in your heart. You know, finding that sense of complete stillness and zero point, that's New Earth. That's the frequency. And then gradually, when enough of us are doing that, you know, there's a real momentum happening now, we can start to see how it manifests in the world in terms of more loving communities, supporting each other, etc. But, so that's the longer term thing. So I want to get away from this kind of instant flash in the pan view of some of the transits that that I share and other astrologers share. So we have a lot of fire energy. It is undeniable. You know, we have Saturn and Neptune in Aries long term. We have the Sun moving into Leo. We have Mercury moving into Leo on the 10th of August. We have Jupiter in Leo for a year until July next year. And I noticed when Jupiter moved into Leo, which he did on the 30th of June, very sadly, there was a real expansion in wildfires. You know, we have a heavy, heavy air fire combination with the outer planets, including Jupiter. Now, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, all in air and fire signs. And what air does is act, the winds can act like bellows for the fire, which it's doing in many places. I know it's done that very strongly in Spain, where there have been some, you know, I think over 300,000 people had to be evacuated around Madrid. So these wildfires, I know for sure, in US, in Canada, in Southwest France, in Spain, in Sicily, and I'm sure many other countries that I'm not aware of. But that must be very scary. So anything we can do with our meditations, you know, I have that free 15-minute 7 p.m. UK time meditation. Just look at the meditation page on my website for that. You know, in the guided free meditations there, I'm always speaking about calming down any extremes, you know, making sure the people and the animals are safe, because that's something we can all do for free. But it's fiery. It's very fiery energy. And Mars on the 11th and 12th of August moves onto a world point, zero of Cancer, a world point. So even though that's a water sign, remember that Mars is primal fire as an archetype. And Mars is out of bounds beyond the normal 23 degrees north or south of the ecliptic from the 3rd to the 28th of August. So essentially the whole month. Now, when a planet is out of bounds, as I've mentioned before, it tends to operate in a more extreme way. So, you know, if an athlete was born with Mars out of bounds, it could be amazing because they could be exceeding all normal records, you know, going beyond what has been established before. But there's a sense of the extreme here. So, again, we're going to have to work, you know, hard at in our meditations and on our day-to-day feeling, thinking, moving through our days to stay calm. Try not to get agitated, try not to get angry, because those emotions are just feeding the field. Also, we know that we have one of the strongest El Niño weather systems in many years. And that's associated with warming temperatures, particularly around the Pacific, and even the Atlantic's going to be warmer this year. So we have, you know, heat everywhere. So just try and, you know, many of us calm down ourselves, that will have an effect on the collective field. It's the best, easiest, free thing we can all do. Also, with that unique configuration, the basket that many people have spoken about in July, as the personal planets move more quickly, they will activate that basket configuration, which will really, apart from Jupiter, which is moving on quickly, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto stay there for the next 2 to 3 years. You know, it's a long-term thing, activated by the personal planets. So I think the other thing to say here before we leave the nodes as well, and it harkens back to what I was just saying about leadership, and Leo is the sign, the regal sign of kingship. It's you know, somebody has spoken, and unfortunately I can't credit them because I can't remember who it was, but you know, are we going to see the end of kings, the fall of kings, or king-like beings who assume, put themselves in a position of being king? And I just happened to be looking at King Charles's chart, King Charles III in the UK. And I can speak about this because he's in the public domain. So an astrologist can calculate his chart. So he was born 14th of November 1948 at 9:14 p.m., 9:14 p.m., 2114 London. And so transiting Pluto, he has an ascendant at 5 of Leo. So transiting Pluto is currently opposing his ascendant and also squaring his nodal axis. Big point of crossroads. His sun, S-U-N, is at 22 of Scorpio, and it is his chart ruler because he has a Leo ascendant, chart of a king. And our total solar eclipse we're going to be looking at in a moment is at 20 degrees 02 of Leo. So that is going to be squaring his sun. So again, a big kind of crossroads reassessment period. The eclipse is conjunct Pluto in his first house of identity, you know, powerful identity. And also transiting Uranus is square his natal Saturn, which rules his sixth house of health. So we know he's been having treatment for cancer. So there could be more kind of issues around health, ups and downs and changes. And we will wait and see. But his chart is certainly being very activated at this time. So let us start to look at the chart for this. And this is, just before I share this, this is a south node eclipse. Now, whenever we have an eclipse, it has to be closest to the north node end of the nodal axis or the south node, one or the other, in order for the eclipse to happen. And this is closest to the south node because it's in Leo. And when that happens, particularly in Leo, this is about identities we have to let go. Identities, facades, old stories, we have to let that go. That's a very big theme for the next 18, 19 months. And it comes up very strongly at this eclipse. It'll come up very strongly next year at the big solar eclipse, total solar eclipse as well. And the eclipse path on the 12th of August falls across Iceland, Greenland, part of Russia, Spain. Spain comes up a lot in several eclipses, actually, during the 18, 19-month period. A small corner of Portugal, the UK. And whenever a country falls under the eclipse path, often those countries or some of those countries either come into the news in the next few months or there's significant changes in those countries as well. So, the fact that we have the nodal axis at the anoretic degrees, so the south node is at the anoretic degree, total lunar eclipse, this is happening 1738 universal time, which on the clock is 1838 UK time. Ignore the houses, ignore the clock face. We're just going to look at where the planets fall and their aspects to each other. So we can see that... here, actually, I've still got the mean node here, but the true node actually just dipped into Leo Aquarius on the 26th of July. And there's a slight difference between them. The true node is the actual movement of the nodal axis, and the mean node kind of means an average, if you like. The true node moved in on the 26th, and the mean node, which we've got here, will follow in kind of mid-August time, but there's not a lot of difference between them. But as the true node is actually at now at 29 of Leo, that's the anoretic degree again of a fire sign. And we also have Mercury, Jupiter expanding the fire, Sun, Moon, obviously, all in fire. So this is like a big new moon. So see where this is falling in your chart, which house area, because it's a big new beginning. And if that solar eclipse within, I'd say, about 4 degrees of any planet, you know, stick to the conjunctions here, any planet in Leo for you, that tends to bring you into greater prominence, bring up sudden opportunities. Eclipses can act like wild cards, particularly total solar eclipses. And they can jump us back on our path of destiny. Eclipses are very destined and fated. One of the few aspects of astrology, I think, that are. And so, again, go back to end 2007 into 2009 and what was happening there for you, which house area is this happening in. If this solar eclipse is happening on your ascendant or your midheaven, again, can be very positive in terms of prominence and publicity. You can be jumped into the limelight. So the message here is about a true heart connection, a true heart connection that we are starting to birth. And Dr. David Clements talked about this a great deal. Many other people are talking about this need to live through the heart rather than the mind. We've been so programmed to live through the mind in the information age and TikTok and Twitter and X. And, you know, we've got to shift from that our principal navigational tool in life becomes our heart. And Leo is all about heart energy. So this is about our confidence, our positivity, our joy, big thinking for the future, Jupiter, Mercury. Think of the heart's toroidal field, which is way bigger than that of the brain, and how positive that is. But remember, as I've been saying, Mars primal fire is out of bounds for the whole month, essentially. And it's also here on a world point. Zero of the cardinals is a world point. So here we could see, because it's in Cancer, very heated emotion and a particularly strong need for emotional security. That's Cancer, very strong need for emotional security. And this is actually forming a cardinal grand cross here, because we have Mars square to Venus at 5 of Libra, which is square to Ixion at 6 of Capricorn, which is square to Neptune at 4 of Aries, and back again to Mars. So this is a cardinal grand cross. Now, those are quite initiatory. They're quite galvanizing into, you know, it's quite action oriented. So let's take this piece by piece. Now, Neptune square to Mars can, in a less positive expression, mean that we kind of lose our energy, we lose our focus, our sense of drive, and anything which might have seemed like a long-term goal, possibly because Saturn is retrograde as well, going back the long-term plans, this may act as a reality check on our long-term goals. Do we need to adjust? Do we need to tack? Are we still moving in the right direction for these long-term goals? However, at a more positive level, this is beautiful in terms of spiritual action. Whether spiritual action is yoga, tai chi, qigong, whether it's working down at the food bank, looking after homeless people, you know, going on a sleep out to raise funds for homeless people, that is spiritual action. So beautifully expresses that. And, you know, Jupiter here in trine to Neptune is about that bigger spiritual vision that is charitable and philanthropic, you know, a more perfect reality that we want to live to, we want to move to. Then we have Mars square to Venus, and Venus brings in again this principle of what is fair for all. Libra loves to keep the balance, keep the harmony, what is fair, what is right, where what is just. And that's really reinforced by the solar eclipse being trine to Eris. Remember, Eris is the warrior sister of Mars, all about fighting for injustice, those who are excluded, who are on the periphery, who are not heard. And so Venus in Libra is reinforcing that sense of inclusion and harmony. You know, everybody is part of the picture. Venus opposing Neptune here is about a higher love, a divine love, a kind of Christ consciousness love, beauty, ethereal beauty, aesthetic beauty. It's very fine. And then we have this square of the cardinal grand cross to Ixion. Now, this is a very powerful position for Ixion, who I happen to love, as you know, because it isn't just that it's part of this cardinal grand cross. It's also, there's so many, it's very complex chart, I know, that the solar eclipse is in a sesquiquadrate, 135 degree aspect to Ixion. So it is fueling, this solar eclipse is fueling Ixion, and Ixion is also in this finger of fate, finger of God, Yod, between Mercury and Uranus as well. So this is a reorientation to live through the heart. Mercury, which has been our mental principle, now shifting into Leo, living from the heart and being expanded there by Jupiter. Ixion is a very revolutionary energy. As you know, when Prince Harry was born, he has Ixion on his midheaven, which speaks volumes. And this is about, are the rules we are playing by the correct ones? Are the rules we are playing by the correct ones? And it challenges any system where there is a lack of integrity and authenticity. It challenges that system. And it's very courageous in doing so. And it's in Capricorn, in a sign of the patriarch. It is in quincunx here as part of this finger of God, finger of fate to Uranus, the planet of revolution, challenge. So, you know, this is, I think this is very clear in terms of many of us are going to question the system and, like Ixion, feel that we need to move beyond the mainstream values. Venus in Libra, values, reassess the values and find our own path of joy and bliss. Really important. Pluto is in a quindicile, this black line, little cue here to the solar eclipse. Quindiciles are where we have a sense of obsession or urgency or upset, and this is around issues of power. Where does the power lie? Because Pluto in Aquarius, as we know, can be invisible government. It can be controlled by technology, which I've spoken about many times. It can also be the power to the people. And what is extraordinary today, 12th of August, Pluto moves out of bounds to the south. Now, I've talked many times about this, that incredible 20-year piece of research from US astrologer Rosie, that she looked back, I think it was about 4,000 years in her research, took her 20 years, and she found that whenever Pluto moved out of bounds to the south, that was a much greater period of revolution on the part of the people to challenge the leadership. And Pluto started to go out of bounds to the south in August 25. It will continue to do that broadly kind of August to December of year, every year until 2035. But it moves out of bounds to the south. Extremes, yes, the day of the eclipse. I think that's quite incredible. Okay, so I do see at one level, as truth comes to light, a lot of social unrest. However, I see really just a whole shift of consciousness here. I mean, Mary, you know, many beautiful things are happening. You know, where does the power lie? What are your choices? Uranus in Gemini. The solar eclipse is so heavily aspected here. It is quintile, which is a 72-degree aspect, Homer. Homer, the dwarf planet to do with regeneration, a deep shamanic contact with the earth and nature. Homer, as I've spoken about in another video, is directly opposite to Chiron in Taurus. This is really bringing about a much greater awareness of Gaia, her consciousness, what we've done to nature, the exploitation, and really recognizing we've got to step back into guardianship and stewardship of the earth. A quintile is a very creative aspect as well. So we're bringing that heart energy back into this sense of regeneration for the earth, you know, bringing the soil back to life, bringing the seas back to life. So also here we have Pluto quintile to Selassie and Saturn. So this really is talking about a creative use of our power coming from the embodiment of more light. The embodiment of more light. And every day I say to my higher self, my angels, show me how I can embody more light. Show me how I can embody more light. It's all about the light. I believe also in here, there is a grand trine in air. Yes, there is, between Venus in Libra, Pluto in Aquarius, and Uranus in Gemini. So air is to do with our sociability, making new choices, Uranus in Gemini, new choices around community, new friendships, relationships, old friendships falling away if they're felt to be hollow or not on the same frequency. And new ones are developing, and these people are going to feel like your frequency tribe. You know, their integrity, their authenticity is ringing true for you. They have the same values. Venus in Libra. So, yeah, this is all about really the birth of a new consciousness that's very powerful. Now, later this month, I think that's all I have to say. I think that's all I have to say about this chart. It's quite enough. There's so much in there. And I will put below all the videos I feel are relevant to this chart as well, so I won't repeat. So later in the month, we have, I believe it's the last eclipse, a lunar eclipse in Pisces. And then we move more fully into these eclipses in Leo and Aquarius for the next 18, 19 months. And as I mentioned earlier, we are going to have our longest total solar eclipse of the century on the 2nd of August in 2027. And that is falling. One of the main areas for the eclipse path is over the over Egypt and the Giza Plateau, which is fascinating. So, and I'm going to be talking to Kelly Clodney this week about that too. So what do we do with all of this? You know, what do we do? Because that astrology was quite complicated. And, you know, you can always put the astrology to one side. Whatever the astrology says, it's actually very simple. Turn inwards. Drop into bliss as often as you can. The more we can hold that frequency, like an opera singer holds a note of love, joy, bliss, that frequency, the more we are strengthening that architecture of light, so it becomes, you know, it's almost like putting up a scaffolding of light on which we can start to put bricks and mortar. We have to make it strong enough in consistency in holding that note, holding the light, that we can truly start to build the bricks and mortar around it. And the more you can do this, you know, and I'm probably one of the absolute worst in terms of how we've operated in our lives so far. You know, we've been taught that you've got to set goals, you've got to achieve, you've got to have a business plan with steps of how to get to your goals. You've got to take action. It's very yang. It's very yang energy. And we're shifting all of that into receptivity so that one of the most valuable things we can do is just sit in bliss. You know, and we can sit in bliss because we're in meditation. We can sit in bliss because we're doing some, you know, yogic baby belly breath, which is on the meditation page of my website. I'll put the link for that below. Whether we're gazing into a candle, you know, whether we're doing some yoga or some beautiful chanting that gets us into that state, we're dropping into that bliss where we feel a sense of almost physical dissolution, that we are at the zero point. You know, there's nowhere to go. There's nothing to think about. The mind is empty. And we feel almost that we're just, and Dr. David Clements described beautifully the other day in our conversation, how we just feel, he does a lot of diving. I haven't done any diving, but I've done snorkeling. And he said when he's on his really deep dives, there's a feeling of just, you know, blending with the ocean, being part of the ocean. It's that. And even if you haven't done any diving, it's that feeling of bliss and dissolution. And that's, you know, spending time doing that is one of the most valuable things we can do. And you know, even just doing, and there are many meditations you can do, of course, but even just joining the simple free 15-minute one that I suggested 7 p.m. UK time every evening, you know, that is taking on its own momentum, because people who've been doing it for quite some time now, a couple of years, are reporting that the light is getting, it's like this webbing of light all around the Earth, which is getting stronger and brighter and bigger every single time they do it. And this is becoming, as I say, the energetic architecture for New Earth. And the more we can do that, that's one of the best uses of our time right now, rather than the push and the goals and the next steps and, you know, all of that. And anybody can join and do, you know, it doesn't matter what age, what nationality, what religion, what, none of it matters. All you need is a pure, open, loving heart. Everyone is welcome. A pure, open, loving heart. And I'm also aware that when we do this, and I've become more aware recently of that energy that we're generating every day, every evening in our meditation is taking on a consciousness of its own. And this is what happens. And I came across a wonderful term a few days ago, and I've been meaning to share this with you because it's called, I haven't heard of it until a few days ago, and it's called an egregore, which sounds like it should be a kind of friend of Winnie the Pooh, doesn't it? It's just a, I think it's a beautiful word, egregore. An egregore is essentially neutral, but it's a kind of collective energy form. And it's when a lot of people come together and focus and instill this group energy form with particular meaning. So, for instance, in the 1960s, the Beatles were an egregore. The Rolling Stones were an egregore. A political party is an egregore. A cult is definitely an egregore. Our daily evening meditations are an egregore because it becomes a consciousness which takes on its own momentum and starts to create itself from the energy that's been created from the meditators, if that makes sense. And of course, this is a very loving energy that we're creating. And it can join together with other groups of meditators. It isn't just us doing this. And so I just wanted to share that with you because it's a really, you know, fascinating concept that I got just terribly interested in, that I wanted to share with you. So drop into bliss. Stare into a rose, deep, deep into a rose. Stare into a sunflower. Stare into a candle flame. Hug a tree. Any of those things to develop that sense of surrender, not in a giving up sense, but in a sense of kind of dissolving the push, dissolving the efforting, and just becoming part of that deep ocean that Dr. David Clement spoke about so eloquently. A lot there today. Hope it's helped you. And back very soon with some different videos this week again. God bless. Thank you for listening. Bye for now.
angelic calling from Jonathan Goldman. Now, Lee Harris is going to tell us all about August's forecast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the energy update for August 2026. I'm Lee. I'm an intuitive, and every month I take the pulse on what might be showing up for you energetically, psychologically, and emotionally. A few of the themes for August are stronger personal transformation energies are incoming this month, so it will be easier to make things happen in the outside world than it has for several months. Also, the energy of peace, a new wave of peacemakers beginning to birth. And lastly, confusion becomes direction. So for any of you who have been confused or disoriented for a while, direction and creative fire is coming online for those of you in that category. Stay tuned for all of this month's themes. Hello, everyone. Welcome to August 2026 Energy Update. And let's look at the themes for this month. So firstly, as a kind of heading for August, stronger personal transformation energies will be available this month. So for you in your own personal life, in your own personal growth, and perhaps in what it is that you are trying to build and bring to the world, it will be a stronger month for that than it has been for several. Over the last several months, we've seen a lot more disorientation, a lot more reactivity to world events, things that we're experiencing as a planet. And certainly you can feel that. You know, I noticed when I was on tour across North America, it was really interesting to feel the world energies as you go to each different place. Even though I was in one continent, it was very palpable how people were feeling. But this month as a whole, there will be a stronger ability to move transformation into your life, particularly if you have been struggling to make certain things happen. So let's look at some of the themes that have come through for me for the month of August. So theme number one, what is this world we are living in? What is this world we are living in? Feeling uncertain about everything, and many are looking for answers. And this is part of the energetic shuffle we are now in. So what is this world we are living in relates to a sentence that you may have said out loud or thought to yourself in recent months or even years. There are a few different aspects to this. Number one, whenever we go through a spiritual awakening, and spiritual awakenings can look different for different people, but usually it's where we wake up to realize the world is not quite what we thought it was before, or we are no longer able to operate in the way that we used to be able to. One of the things that my guides had said for many years is that as we got deeper past the year of 2012, we were going to see the world go into transformation, and that from 2020 onwards, things were going to get a lot stronger in terms of how many people would start to realize, oh, the world is not what we thought it was, or going in the direction that we thought it was going in. So more and more people, as I mentioned in the July energy update, are waking up to see that things are not quite as they thought. Whether they're focusing on that politically, whether they're focusing on that with climate events, whether they're focusing on that spiritually, having an awakening in themselves, there is this mass uncertainty about everything. And while I think many people felt that before, there have never been so many people viscerally feeling that. It's one thing to feel uncertain in your mind. It's another thing to start feeling it in your body and your energy field because it's going round. So if you're empathic or sensitive and you've been feeling this a lot more, it's a great opportunity for us to practice being in the present and the not knowing of it all. It's not necessarily a comfortable place for many of us to be. And usually when we find ourselves in it, it's quite jarring. You know, it can push up against parts of either your identity or the way that you thought life was supposed to be. So it does cause a spiritual awakening, but usually when we're in it, it's not very comfortable. So many people right now will be looking for answers, and you yourself might have found yourself in a deeper process of looking for answers. What's life about? What's this earth about? Where is everything going? And that is very much par for the times. So if you're feeling that, it's quite normal, and lots of people are feeling it. People just aren't as used to talking about it to each other. You know, you may have certain friends in your life you have these conversations with, but what you'll be beginning to notice is that many people will be playing the old script, but looking more disoriented within it. You know, they've got less commitment to their words, less commitment to things they have said for years or decades that no longer feel as stable inside themselves. So this theme of what is this world we are living in is a kind of global question that's going round. And people are finding themselves having different relationships to that question. Not everyone is thinking the same thing about what the new world is or could be, but it's a global undoing of an old way of seeing things and feeling things. So it brings with it all kinds of feelings. There can be grief for the past. There can be a desire to go back to how things were. There can be a desire to see a better future happening faster than we're seeing it. So there is a lot of that in the air. So if you're feeling that in yourself, know that you're not alone. It's going round, it's normal, and it's quite a natural question to have at this stage of where we are at the moment in this massive transformation that we're going through on the planet. Theme number two links to theme number one, and it is, there is no unification right now. There is no unification right now. We can often yearn for unification and look for it outside ourselves, looking for a group or an organization or a religion or a government that will help us unify everything or offer us a sense of unification. But at the moment, there is no unification. There is no worldwide or total group way of seeing things. And that can cause a certain pain, yearning, longing until you find it. But this is a time to choose your path or your way. What is it that will bring you to a sense of unification in yourself, your relationship with life, your relationship with the world? I spoke last month how there is a season change going on for people. Some people are moving toward Jesus, Christ consciousness. Some people are moving into a formal religion around that. Some people are moving away from that, and they're moving into more of a spiritual relationship. Some people are letting go of all of it and having a more atheistic view of things. There is no unification, and you don't want to spend time trying to get other people to think the way you think or feel. It's pointless, because someone will have their own experience that will bring them to a certain place. You will feel a yes in your body around what is for you. So you will feel a yes around what's working for you right now. What's your path? What's your faith? Maybe your faith has become very small. You know, maybe your faith has become, my faith right now is my family, my friends, the things I'm doing for my local community. I'm keeping my world quite small. Don't judge that. There might be a part of your mind going, oh, shouldn't I be more of a global activist? If that isn't where you are feeling to be right now, follow your feeling. And if it's creating a sense of unification for you, or a sense of belonging, or a sense of connection, you're on the right path for right now. Things are so chaotic in the world that you often have to bring things down to the small and the simple in order to reconnect. So there is no unification right now. If you're grieving for that, have the grief, but at the same time, recognize that unification is a personal experience that we can have inside ourselves. We can feel unified with other people, other places, our relationship to nature, spirit, creativity, whatever it is that's your thing. But don't spend too much time heartbroken about the fact that we are not a unified world. Instead, choose the area that you want to bring unity and unification to, and choose the areas that help you feel more connected in yourself. It's very important right now for stability. Theme number three, long-term confusion turning into direction. So long-term confusion turning into direction. Creative fire is coming online for many who have been confused or lacking direction for a while. So if you have felt the confusion or the lack of direction for a while, this could be the month where for you, everything starts going in the right direction and you start feeling a direction again, feeling a creative fire. Whenever we go through a rebirth, we tend to lose function in the outside world to some degree. Now, you know, you can be going through a rebirth and carrying on with things in your world that you have to do, your duties, your commitments. You might not feel as connected to them as you did at one time because you're going through a rebirth, but you also haven't abandoned them and left them aside. But you might be missing that spark or that fire or that part of you that used to know why you were doing things. Again, I'm going to bring you back to theme number one to remind you that there is a lot of questioning right now about reality as a whole that is global. A lot of people are questioning what was, what is. So there's a level of disorientation that is just normal at the moment. But for many of you who've perhaps been going through this for a while, you may have already, just at the end of July, you may have started to feel a bit more of a, okay, I think I know what I want to do. I think I'm feeling some sense of direction coming back. So your creative fire might be coming online. And again, no need to rush. No need to try and overextend yourself. This is not a time for massive big vision because we're still in such shifting energies and a lot of dissolution is still happening on Earth and a lot of chaos is happening on Earth. So it tends to be that your kind of smaller to medium goals will tend to be more achievable than big, ambitious long-term goals right now. You can keep chipping away at the long-term goal, but don't get too frustrated that you can't build big in your life. You will get to big as an outcome if you stick to small and medium. So for many of you who've got that creative fire coming back online, that's great. Give yourself the grace and the space to know that it can ebb and flow a little bit as it comes back online, but you're ready to start building again and also sending yourself in the direction of where you want to go. This won't be for everybody. Some of you will just be coming into this confusion right now. But for those of you who've been in that confusion for 6 months, 12 months or more, you might start to feel your direction coming back because you've been through enough of a rebirth now. Okay, theme number four, anger becomes allowance. Anger becomes allowance. This theme is about spiritual surrender. So anger becoming allowance and surrendering your anger to allowing what is happening rather than just feeling angry about it. This is different to activism on behalf of others. So this isn't so much that those of you who feel angry about what you're seeing in the world or injustices or things that are happening to others that you know are unfair. This isn't so much that your anger around that is going to land in allowance and spiritual surrender. This is more personal. This is more related to anger you may feel in yourself, toward your life, your path, your place in the world. If you've been feeling angry for a while, there is an energy coming in around spiritual surrender for many people. And it might be that anger, that fire, that fight that you have been feeling is just beginning to soften or run out of energy. And now you're landing a little bit more in a place of allowance. It's not an easy one for us to practice. You know, we don't live in a world that encourages us to be in allowance. We usually have to go to spiritual teachings. We usually have to go into spiritual places or establishments that might hold the practice of being in allowance. We often have to be in environments or patterns of behavior or activities, pastimes that will allow us to become more allowing. But for some of you, your anger might have just run out of steam or moved through you in the way that it needed to, and now it's done. So some of you might be feeling I'm feeling a little more surrender to what is than I was. And even if that doesn't necessarily tell you what step to take next, it starts to make a next step possible for you. So this might be a month where you feel some calm after a lot of fire. And it might take you a month to just land in the calm before you take action. So let yourself just feel the allowance and the spiritual surrender that we all have to make. You know, there is a level of spiritual surrender that I believe that we're all in. Even if our egos or our minds have got hold about who we think we are or what we think we're here to do. You know, at the end of the day, life will humble us constantly and it will ask us to surrender to things we might not want, things we may not see coming. So more and more people are becoming more attuned to this idea of surrendering to life rather than being in control or in charge of it. And we're certainly seeing world events that are breaking the illusion of control that we thought we may have or that we thought others may have on our behalf around our life. Okay, theme number 5, rise above the noise. This is good advice for life anyway, but this was a message that came through for this month. Rise above the noise. If you haven't already, if you can tune out distractions and confusion, you will easier tune into why you are here and what you are here for right now. So rise above the noise. If you can tune out distractions and confusion, you will easier tune into why you are here and what you are here for right now. It's interesting, again, traveling around across North America lately and seeing a lot of cities and places where crowds gather. It's interesting how noisy the world is and how noisy the world has become compared to, say, 30, 40 years ago. And so there is a practice that we have to be in charge of. You know, we have the ability to know where we're placing our attention, know where we're placing our focus, know what relationships we're giving our energy and our time to. And so this message is really for any of you who are feeling like you aren't surviving or thriving the way you would like to. You might feel like you're drowning. You might feel overwhelmed. You might feel depressed by everything that you're seeing. Can you, this month, take some time every day to rise above the noise, to step out of the noise of the world, people, places, things, technology that you might be engaged in, and just have some silence, have some quiet, bring it back to the simple. As I said earlier, how small, simple, and local can you act? And this isn't really something that we do just as a remedy to overwhelm on one day. This is actually a practice and a habit that we can start to form that will help give us a better baseline. I've definitely found that the more I stay away from noise, the more noisy the noise seems to me. And I don't mean in a way that you can't handle it or survive it in an inconvenient way. I mean more that you start to notice, oh, this is a very noisy environment. I don't need to stay here. I'm going to go and find somewhere else. It's very easy to think that the state that we are experiencing is the only state in the world. But actually, there are different states we can experience if we change our habits, our patterns, our direction. So again, there is a big call this month to us, to ourselves. How can we create changes in our life? And I think whenever we are in a time where we feel confused, overwhelmed, disheartened, perhaps, you do need to ask yourself, okay, how can I change certain things so that I experience a slightly different frequency? Okay, theme number 6. There is a new wave of peacemakers birthing right now. There is a new wave of peacemakers birthing right now. And the sentence I was given was turn the other cheek, or turning the other cheek. A movement and creation of peace in the face of the opposite to peace is growing on earth. A movement and creation of peace in the face of the opposite to peace is growing on earth. It's interesting as we see more darkness or shadow showing its face. it makes sense to me that there would be a new wave of peacemakers birthing. So you may be noticing or seeing these people around you. You may be becoming one of these people. You may be finding that things that used to matter to you, things that used to be important to you, they just don't matter anymore, because you are starting to turn your ship, your vessel, your being in the direction of living for and creating more peace for others, creating peace on earth. And we create peace on earth not because we think we're going to influence the whole world, but because we recognize that peace needs to be seen in the world and it needs to be felt. So if we can be one of the gardeners of peace, we are contributing to the garden of peace that the world needs. So there will be a whole group of you resonant with this theme right now. You might be finding each other. You might be finding movements and organizations that are helping you to grow this sense of peace, evolve it. But you're not only developing this for now in response to what's happening in the world now. Many of you will be becoming more of a peacemaker for the future decades and for future generations. So it's almost like a mission change. Some of you will now be steering your ship towards being a peacemaker. Perhaps before you were a healer or a creator or something entirely different. Peace has probably always been important to you, but now it will be coming online in a bigger way. Okay, theme number 7, present moment displacement. Nostalgia and reassessing of the past as part of coming to terms with the present. Plus, 2028 energy is already calling many forward, but it is not yet stable. Let me explain this one. So present moment displacement. It's interesting. I definitely relate to this one myself, because in some of my, you know, wanting, giving myself some time to be in the present in recent weeks, it's been interesting how busy the present is, because it's in such a state of flux and change and fast movement. And so nostalgia and reassessing of the past for many of us can be part of coming to the now. And your life may have been moving very fast over the last few years. And so when you do give yourself to the present and you pause, sometimes the past has to catch up and move through your system, your thoughts, your feelings, memories come up that you maybe haven't thought of for a few years or longer. And this is all part of the displacement of the present moment. But the present moment is really a journey to where we're going. It's interesting that the 2028 energy got mentioned, and that came through me this morning. It said that 2028 energy is already calling many of us forward, but it's not yet stable on the planet. So some of us are already 2 years ahead in part of our energy field. But that energy is a birthing and a positive energy that we can't yet fully stabilize and ground, because we're in this chaotic, transformational year that we're in. So you might feel like you don't know where you are on the timeline. And again, that's quite normal. There's nothing particularly wrong with you. It's part of how the present moment is showing up. You land in the present moment for a minute and it might very quickly take you to the past, or it might take you to the future, or it might be subtly moving your energy to help you shed things so that you're here for the now. So this is for the more metaphysical among you, those of you who feel and perceive the astral timelines energy a bit more than usual. And for those of you who aren't wired quite that way, or you don't relate to it that way, you might just be going through a ton of human memories. Lots of nostalgia for the past, lots of reviewing your life, reviewing things as you are asked to not so much come to the present now in 2026, but you're starting to tune in on where we're going and where we're going to be in a couple of years' time. 2028 energy is already calling many forward, but it is not yet stable. So, okay. And then theme number 8, final theme. Disconnection becoming connection. Disconnection becoming connection. So this relates to resetting your patterns around connection and inviting in the new. So those of you who have felt disconnected for a while, it's a really good time to connect. It's a really good time to turn your ship towards connection. Whether it's that you haven't really been in the mood to connect with people and all of a sudden you're going to, whether it's you recognize you've been using technology as connection too much. You know, there is a lack of biological relay in technology. It's a wonderful thing and it can offer many aspects to it, but it's not a replacement for connection in the way that we have perhaps been trained or invited to think it is. It's very important for us to, through our bodies and through our biological energy field, have moments of connection, whether it's with other people, animals, nature, the world at large, not just through a device, not just through the computer. And also for you resetting your patterns around connection and inviting in the new. There are lots of themes this month that relate to bringing new energy into your life and having the power, the will, and the strength to do it after perhaps a series of months where you didn't feel quite so clear about that. So August is going to be supportive to a lot of this. It doesn't mean we won't still see much of the same chaos going on that we have been seeing in recent months, but you on a personal level will have a bit more resolve and a bit more inner strength to start to change the direction of your own life, your own immediate world, and how you're affecting people, places, things in your life, and vice versa, who you are choosing as people, places, and things to affect your world this month. So those are the themes for this month. I hope something here gave you some sustenance. See you here next month for the energy update for September. Big love.
The Voice Within, your connection between this world and the next. Brought to you by Infinity Spiritual Center, 550 Anglesey Street, Hamilton.
So, what's happening down at Infinity Spiritual Center, you may ask? Well, the best way to find out is to go onto the website www.infinityspiritualcenter.co.nz, because there's all sorts of workshops coming up, all sorts of things going on all the time. So if you're interested in your inner child, or from overthinking to inner peace, healing your inner critic, healing through journaling, these are just some of the things you can do. Crystal healing from mind, body and spirit, all sorts of courses. So just go to the website, you'll be able to see where all the courses that are on, who's running them, a bio about the people who run them, and you can even book and pay online.
I am Barry. It's been The Voice Within. Kakite. Shalom. Namaste. Masalam. May your God go with you.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.